You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, listeners know I always enjoy this Community Gems segment. The ability to hear and learn from amazing people and the amazing work they do is just a real privilege. And today is going to be no exception. I have Jane Morgan on the line from the Dinner Club. It's based in Hawke's Bay, I think Napier in particular. So Jane, welcome to the show.
Hello, Simon. Thank you for having me.
Well, we run a early morning show, so to speak, or at least a morning show, but we're talking about dinner. So tell us about the Dinner Club and what do you guys do?
Well, the Dinner Club is a group of cyclone survivors, people that were flooded last year after Cyclone Gabrielle hit Hawke's Bay. They come from all around the region. We've got Esk Valley, Pakafai, Puketap, literally all across the bay, come together and have a three-course dinner cooked by me, served by my friends, just so that they can have a bit of respite from digging in silt and dealing with the destruction after after the cyclone.
So obviously the catalyst was that cyclone. I mean, what drew you to that need? I mean, obviously you could see people were hurting, probably hungry, but was there like a particular catalyst or a moment you went, you know what, we've got to prepare food in a way that's, well, it's not just serving it up at a serverie. It sounds like this is a proper sit-down, three-course meal.
There was a sort of a light bulb moment after the cyclone. Me and many others across New Zealand and the region got together and were just sort of stumbling around saying, who can we help? How can we help? There was websites formed, Facebook pages formed, where people would say, I've got a need, I need 10 people to come and help me rescue my trees or dig out my property. And other people would say, I'm from Whanganui, I need somewhere to stay, I want to come and help. So there was an awful lot of help out there, but it was and it was very well coordinated by the people that ran that Facebook page. I was sort of driving around. I was hosting people that came to the region, and I would sort of say, you go off and help people and I'll feed you when you come home. I tried digging silt. I lasted about 3 hours. My God, it's a hard job. So I knew
you probably lasted 3 hours more than I would. But being a radio host doesn't help with the arm strength. I'm just putting that out there in public.
You put that shovel in and the silt just sucks it down to the ground and it says, nah, I'm not going. It was amazing. So knowing that these people were doing this for days and days on end, I would then get a message from someone who was out helping and they would say, oh, you know, any chance you could pop in and bring some food for this family or this couple or this person, because they were on the spot, Johnny on the spot, I was just on the sideline. So I ended up just driving around Hawke's Bay with my car filled with shepherd's pies and banana cakes. And I would just turn up at random houses and go, hey, you don't know me, but I'm here to give you some food. And then, you know, these people were exhausted. They were just going through the most unimaginable experience. I turned up at one place one day and the husband said, oh my God, this will be the first hot meal I've had all week. And his wife looked horrified, as you can imagine. And then she said, look, we are so tired. She said, we go inside, they're staying in a shed on their property, surrounded by devastation. And she said, I make us a piece of toast, he makes a cup of tea, we eat that and we fall into bed. And then we get up and do it all over again tomorrow.
Gosh.
So, you know, what they did have was one Primus stove in the corner with one element and a broken pot that they'd found in the silt sort of thing. You know, these people had lost everything. So I sort of went, hang on a minute, we need to do something a little bit more targeted. It was hard, though. You know, it was really hard to set limits on who we could help because there were so many thousands of people that needed help. But that picture of those people in that shed in the corner of their little market garden shed really stuck with me. And I thought, what about these people were my father's age and they were approaching winter and they were going to live in a shed. So I sort of thought, righty-ho, I talked with people about this. Let's support those people that are living in makeshift housing that have gone from a beautiful four-bedroom home filled with all their possessions gathered over, you know, a lifetime of living on a property. Many of them were rural properties. They'd lost everything and they didn't have time to grieve at that point. They were in sort of fight mode while they tried to rebuild their lives, find their last few possessions that hadn't been washed away in the floods, rebuild, buy out, deal with insurance, deal with councils, that sort of thing. So we sort of came up with this idea of some sort of nourishing food that would comfort, that would offer the comforts of home, the sort of food that they would cook themselves if they had a home. So really old school food, the sort of food that my parents and grandparents would eat. And that's kind of where it formed. where the idea germinated.
That's amazing. Sorry, I'm feeling hungry just thinking about it. But you're clearly a foodie yourself. You clearly like to cook, love to cook. Would that be fair? I mean, this is so generous what you're doing, not just in food, but time.
It's like someone said to me, it's like cooking Christmas dinner every week. So it was a massive commitment. If I'd thought about it, I probably wouldn't have done it. So it's just as well I didn't. But, you know, food brings people together. It offers not just comfort, but it offers a sort of a reason to get together. It fills your belly. It keeps them healthy. You know, these people were eating very poorly, working in the worst possible environment. And if that one meal, a week was such a, well, you know, many times they would say, oh, it's Wednesday, yay, it's only two more nights till dinner sort of thing. That gave them something to look forward to when things were looking a bit grim.
I imagine too, I've been through a cyclone myself in the island, so it can relate a little bit to, and I want to stress it only a little bit. Things were so primitive there that when the electricity went out, it didn't really matter. But that aside, sitting down for a meal, obviously, as you say, it's nutritious and so forth, but I imagine it also engenders a sense of community. Many stories, and I assume tears too, Jane, would have been shared over those tables and meals.
Absolutely. So we would have, fists banging on the table. Obviously, they were having a bad week. We would have tears. And one of the guests said to me one night, it's really good because if someone starts crying, we all start crying. I tried to organize, there's no judgment, you know, because they're all in the same boat. I tried to organize an amazing restaurant in Napier. Said to me, we'll hold a table open. If you want to fill it with your dinner club guests, they're welcome to come and have a meal in our restaurant. And I got a really poor uptake on that. And it occurred to me that they didn't want to be in public. They weren't ready to be exposed to a watchful eyes. They were still afraid that they might lose their cool, have a meltdown. And so that being able to be, we were very fortunate. We had the amazing facilities of the Taradale Anglican Church. There was no religious affiliation with the dinner club. We wanted it to be non-religious, non-political, just about providing comfort in a sort of safe place where nothing changed. It was beautiful tablecloths, flowers on the tables. It was china crockery and proper cutlery, because a lot of people were helping and taking food around, but it was plastic plates, it was paper cups, it was plastic knives and forks. We really wanted to emphasise the sort of comforts of home, of the home that they'd lost, because a lot of these people are of the generation where they would sit down, lay the table, pop a placemat down, take the time to cook a roast dinner on a Sunday, have the leftovers on Monday, make a shepherd's pie on Tuesday, put a soup on the stove, those sort of things. And they weren't able to do that. So we were trying to sort of satisfy that, sense of home for them.
Oh, look, it says me to you, it makes complete sense. Again, it's only analogous, but I remember I was in Fiji and the place got blown to pieces, but the first thing I did with some of the young guys was reset a lounge room that we had. So a lot of the building's damaged, but we set one room up to try to restore normality or a sense of normality, and so important. So are you the one doing all the cooking? Please tell me you have some people helping you, because this seems like a huge task.
I do all the cooking 99% of the time. There's two reasons. One, we can't cook on site, so the venue that we were using last year was also housing the girls from the college in East Valley that got wiped out. So we couldn't get on site until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So it was just too much of a coordination effort to sort of buy groceries, take them to that person so they could make that ingredient, that dish, et cetera, et cetera. So whilst I probably was a bit more tired than I needed to be, it was just easier in the long run for me to do it. Just as well, I like cooking. So I would go, I'd have Monday to do my own things. Tuesday, I would start thinking about a menu. I'd go to all the supermarkets and shops and just sort of look at what was on special, because, of course, money was tight. Well, money was non-existent in the start. And then I would start the soup, and then I would start prepping the vegetables. I've still got calluses from peeling potatoes and carrots and things like that.
Oh, gosh.
20 kilos of potatoes. My poor old dad got roped in many a time to be my sous chef.
Because how many people would you be feeding? So this is once a week at the church hall. Like, how many people are you catering for?
It varied. The most we ever had was 54, but it's probably averaged at about 30, 35, so not too bad.
And clearly continuing. So obviously you had to seek funds at the start and needing still funds to go, because as we all know, things are expensive, but you're still going. And we were talking just before we came on air that you've had a few, not really blowback, but a few people who have sort of expressed, oh, well, you know, the cyclone was almost 2 years ago. I mean, surely it's all tickety-boo and everyone's, if you will, back to normal now. But I thought you had quite a profound insight into why this is still needed.
Well, my take is that this year people have the luxury of a bit more time on their hands. Last year they were in fight mode. Last year they were scratching around in silk trying to find wedding photos, jewellery, anything they could try and, you know, find. This year they've moved back into their house, or they're almost there, and I suspect that some fairly dark thoughts follow once they turn the lights out at night, because they're not as exhausted. They're not falling into a dead sleep after a hell day, and I think we are seeing some signs across the region of a fair level of mental trauma amongst the guests. You know, we still have children that when it rains they'll run to their parents and go, "Are we going to die today, mummy?" It's just unthinkable. And we have, you know, so many stories of people that are just triggered what's going on in America at the moment. You know, a lot of the guests have said, oh, we just can't watch the news. It just brings it all back. I think there's a bit of work that needs to be done in the mental health sort of area. We tried. We had therapists and a few people come last year. But you've got to be in the right place to take that sort of help. So I think this year and possibly next year is when people might sort of go, you know what, I actually need someone to talk to other than just the people that have been there. I need some expert help. And we're sort of trying to work out how we might facilitate that.
Well, says me to you, one of the other things is you've created a community, and maybe the initial or the catalyst will change as time goes on. But actually there's still that need, because people love community. They love getting together, and it sounds like rather tasty food. So I'm based in Auckland, but maybe I should be coming down to sample one of the other thing you sort of warned me is probably a bit too dramatic, but you talked about a couple of testimonials. I wondered if you wanted to share those. You warned me because you thought you might find it a bit emotional, but if I'm putting you on the spot, tell me off.
Okay. Hubby and I went to this after Cyclone Gabrielle. Hubby wasn't sure. I was hopeful it might help us. We knew no one there, including the awesome people providing lovely meals and desserts. We kept going. It was so nice and friendly. We needed the comfort that the people and the food gave us. Slowly we got to know the other victims of the cyclone. All of us have been to hell and are trying to get back to normal. It's still incredibly hard. We look forward to every Friday night, and sometimes on a bad week, which can be quite regularly, we count down the days to see everyone again, and where we can forget and repair our anxieties and fears. It is so beneficial to our mental state. We can talk without, "You should be over this," which is very hurtful and not at all helpful. To have somewhere where there is no judgment is awesome. So that's one lady's comment. Right. Lives were lost, hearts were broken, completely soul-destroying. Even now we're still affected. Having Dinner Club is an ongoing lifeline which continues to help and mend completely shattered lives. I'm doing it. It's okay.
That's lovely.
The Dinner Club has been our salvation. It has supported each and every one of us with a meal once a week, but so much more than that. It's allowed us to come together and talk through issues with people who are dealing with the same thing. Being there for each other through the anxiety when the weather turns bad, networking and using whatever your skills are to help others negotiate the day-to-day challenges of starting all over again. It has been the best practical help for our mental health that we could have asked, because it has turned a negative into a positive.
Jane, you must take much pride in that. Well, I hope you do, because, I mean, gosh, what an effort you've given and a gift to this community. So if people want to get in touch, I'm thinking more to listeners, not to turn up to eat the food, but to help, to support, to donate, because I know you've also created a cookbook. How do people get in touch with you?
Right. Well, there's a variety of ways. We have a Facebook page, The Dinner Club Hawke's Bay, or it might be The Dinner Club HB. If they want to buy the cookbook, which is the recipes of the food that we cooked them last year, that's available on Trade Me. If you search The Dinner Club Cookbook, the profits from that go back to supporting The Dinner Club. People can donate money. We do have a Dinner Club bank account that funds go into, and it's managed by somebody else. The other option, of course, is that they can send donations of food, but that's a little bit more problematic. But I have had it happen. One amazing lady sent me $200 worth of meat. Amazing. You know, that was that's so practical help like that. If you can't afford to give cash, but you've got something you think we can use, I can make use of anything. It would be amazing. Yeah, so that's the main way. But Facebook is probably the easiest way for people to track me down.
Well, can I encourage listeners to do so? And certainly if people are following the replays, we'll make sure that we've got links to the likes of the cookbook and Jane's Dinner Club Facebook page available. Jane, you really are, as we term it, a community gem. I just take my hat off to you and just thank you for not only the wonderful food, but the real gift that you are giving of your time and that sense of community to those people. So thanks for being on the show.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks, Simon.
From caps to tees and bags to bumper stickers, we have you covered. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.